I recognize the gentlelady from Texas, Ms. Jordan, for the purpose of general debate, not to exceed a period of 15 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Ms. Jordan.
Mr. Chairman, I join my colleague, Mr. Rangel, in thanking you for giving the junior members of this committee the glorious opportunity of sharing the pain of this inquiry. Mr. Chairman, you are a strong man, and it has not been easy. But we have tried as best we can to give you as much assistance as possible. Earlier today, we heard the beginning of the preamble to the Constitution of the United States. We the people. It's a very eloquent beginning. But when that document was completed on the 17th of September in 1787, I was not included in that we the people. I felt somehow for many years that George Washington and Alexander Hamilton just left me out by mistake. But through the process of amendment, interpretation, and court decision, I have finally been included in we the people. Today, I am an inquisitor. And hyperbole would not be fictional and would not overstate the solemnness that I feel right now. My faith in the Constitution is whole, it is complete, it is total. And I am not going to sit here and be an idle spectator to the diminution, the subversion, the destruction of the Constitution. Who can so properly be the inquisitors for the nation as the representatives of the nation themselves? The subjects of its jurisdiction are those offenses which proceed from the misconduct of public men. And that's what we're talking about. In other words, from the abuse or violation of some public trust. It is wrong, I suggest, it is a misreading of the Constitution for any member here to assert that for a member to vote for an article of impeachment means that that member must be convinced that the president should be removed from office. The Constitution doesn't say that. The powers relating to impeachment are an essential check in the hands of the body, the legislature, against and upon the encroachments of the executive. The division between the two branches of the legislature, the House and the Senate, assigning to the one the right to accuse and to the other the right to judge. The framers of this Constitution were very astute. They did not make the accusers and the judges the same person. We know the nature of impeachment. We've been talking about it a while now. It is chiefly designed for the president and his high ministers to somehow be called into account. It is designed to bridle the executive if he engages in excesses. It is designed as a method of national inquest into the conduct of public men. The framers confided in the Congress the power, if need be, to remove the president in order to strike a delicate balance between a president swollen with power and grown tyrannical and preservation of the independence of the executive.
Barbara Jordan, July in 1974. First things, David Domke, Charles Douglas.
Good morning, Steve. Good morning, Charles. Those words are really solemn. Those, Barbara Jordan and her position in America, a representative from Texas. I believe she was the first African-American woman to ever serve in the U.S. Congress ever, African-American Southern woman to ever serve in the Congress, her understanding of the scope and the arc of this country, and also her careful walkthrough of the pieces involved, just to me seemed like the right place to start today's podcast. And this, the 10 days to go till we have a new president. I want to talk in this podcast about whether we proceed with impeachment. I'm a supporter. I'm an advocate of it. But there are some things to consider there. And I also want to recognize the gravity, the incredible gravity of even considering impeachment, that we don't throw the word around lightly. It should not be tossed around as like a something you bring up when you just don't agree with the president. You bring it up, as she says at the end there, when we are trying to curtail the tyrannical abuses, I think she says excessive power or something like that, of the president. And that's where we're at. We are so clearly at that moment, and the endangerment of the republic, of the country, is here. So this is a grave, grave moment, and we are fortunate to actually be able to consider this, because things could have gone differently on Wednesday. They could have gone further, much, much further. There could be more people dead right now. We're fortunate to be in this position, and it's time to move forward with some kind of clear consequence for the president. And impeachment is the most grave one at this moment. So I'll start with Jordan today, and I want to pick up and go from there. And let me throw it to you, Steve, and then over to Charles. Steve, what is your thought about what is your kind of impression/thought about Barbara Jordan and the way that she captured the moment there?
She's just so solemn and precise in her stentorian tones. I always have loved her way of speaking, because she just has so much gravitas and authority in her speech. And she was an amazing representative. I remember following her career at the impeachment trials. I mean, we were riveted to the impeachment trials in 1974, because, you know, I was in college, I was a journalism major. So every day was a class. I was going to summer school. Every day was a class about, you know, what this means. Oh, I wasn't going to summer school. Excuse me. I was working in the orchards in Chelan, Washington. But every day was about, well, what does this mean? What is the purpose of this? And because we didn't know what impeachment was. So I just remember her in particular, and along with, you know, Senator Sam Ervin, as these people who had this way of, you know, speaking that was both highfalutin, but also grounded in American speech. And also what she says is just captures it perfectly, I think, you know, what it means, lays it out. She's a great educator.
Yeah, I I'm confused. I'm not confused. I'm actually starting to get a little angry. I need to understand how we continue to be Charlie Brown in the football and believe that we should sacrifice everything to try and bring the country together. And we could talk some more about this. Maybe somebody else has an opinion on the other side, but I thought this is as clear as it gets.
You mean about not going, about whether to impeach him today or Wednesday or not?
Yeah. I thought that the crimes he committed, this crime he committed, this is as clear as possible. And I do not understand the calls to pause this, the fact that it's a debate. You know, David, you've watched more news than I have this morning. You're saying that it's still kind of up in the air. It is amazing to me that is something that is not 100% sure yet.
Let me speak.
And
to
I think Barbara would agree with me if she were allowed to.
So, yesterday evening, the House of Representatives, the Democratic Caucus, which is, you know, the majority, held a two-hour phone call or Zoom call where they had a vigorous debate, a discussion about whether to pursue impeachment. I think the sense is that they all want to. The debate is around, or that they all, you know, I'm not in that space, so I can't say like they all want to, but my reading of what's being said about it is that they all want to, but that the debate is not about whether it merits it. The debate is about, among them, is about what it means to the Senate in the earliest days of the presidency for Joe Biden, if they do this. Right. That's what the debate is about. And so that's why this morning on, she was on with George Stephanopoulos. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez was on, and she said, look, I'm a very strong supporter of impeachment, and I think we should do it for several reasons. And she quick kind of mentioned a couple of them. She said, but we also have to make sure that we get it done, that he is never able to hold office again, and that he is not able to pardon in the same way that he is going to do so. And that's the concern that they have, is that impeachment doesn't get us there. It doesn't get us there in the same way on those pieces. There's no guarantee that we get there. So do they pursue impeachment and rely upon the Senate, or do they pursue a set of laws that would restrict a president who's engaged in certain activities from having certain powers? And so the president has met that criteria on his seditious activities. Do they want to pass a law which would then go to the Senate and could be enacted in a different way than an impeachment vote? An impeachment vote has certain procedures around it.
The answer is you do both. That's the
exactly.
Answer.
I agree. Right. I agree.
Yeah.
And I think that's what they're, I mean, from my reading this morning, it sort of sounds like that's what they're talking about. I mean, James Clyburn said that the idea is the House passes the impeachment, and then since the Senate is not going to do anything until the new session, Clyburn was even floating the idea, this will sound familiar, David, he's floating the idea that you wait 100 days and you get Biden's agenda passed, and probably also, though I didn't see this in the things I read, you get the laws passed which stop Donald Trump from being able to run again or pardon himself. And then at the end of those 100 days of the Biden administration, hanging over the heads of all these Republicans, as there's the political calculation there, that then they take up in full measure the impeachment trial.
So that's what Clyburn was saying this morning?
Was saying that you know, House may wait to send impeachment articles to the Senate. Uh-huh.
I appreciate Clyburn. I think that is also not the way to go. I think that you need to strike while the iron is hot. I think if Congress goes through the process of voting in a bunch of laws that this country needs, it will bring us to a better place. There'll be people who are going to be voting for this, for some of these things. You know, does Murkowski come over? Do some other people come over and have these like meaningful votes for a bunch of good legislation that's been sitting there to rot for 4 years? That is going to heal Congress. Then go back and to vote on impeachment is to further divide us after we've healed some. That doesn't make any sense.
If you think they could move on impeachment in the Senate in short order, or do the work of passing the COVID relief, health and economic packages,
but the
on
public
January
is not
20th
even going to be
January
with you.
21st.
The public will not be with you anymore in 100 days. The media will have moved on. You have lost all momentum. It has to happen right now. It will not happen if we wait.
I agree that essentially, if we wait 100 days, that the downside of that is, you're right, that the public has moved on. Why would you be bringing this up again? We're done with this. He's out. He's hopefully on his way to jail somewhere or something. I agree with that. I think the great challenge is to on day one or two have the Senate taking up impeachment, since McConnell won't take it up. or that to me is the challenge. Now, all of that said, that's
a challenge. Tell me how that's the challenge.
Because go ahead.
It's politically not how I want to communicate to the public that we are here to I want to pass COVID relief. I want to pass economic changes. I want to move on the agenda as the beginning of the new Congress. I want to move on that agenda. I don't want to be dealing with the former president on day one. But that said, there are two different things, and this is the reason why I brought up Jordan this morning. The Senate and the House have different responsibilities here. The House has a responsibility to consider whether to vote to impeach, which is to bring an indictment against the president. And then the Senate has to decide whether to convict. I want the Senate for the next, 10 days, or let's say 8 days after the House would pass impeachment, to have to deal with that, because this is the Republican Senate. I want them to have to defend the bringing up of it or not bringing up of it. Why can't they get 100% consent? That's what McConnell has said, is unless you get 100% consent, we cannot bring this up. I want them to have to deal with that. That will be the Republicans that will object, obviously.
Yes, and he'll still be impeached twice. That's what we want. We want him to be the first president to be impeached twice. We want all the pressure to be on McConnell. We want 10 days worth of reminders about who he is and who they really are. Forget the pretty speech that he gave a few days ago.
Yeah.
Yes, I agree with that. And if we mean everything that we're saying right now, the beginning of Joe Biden's presidency needs to be a continuation of our words from here. This is the reason why people don't fuck with politics. It's because there are these artificial things that pause stuff that doesn't make any sense to people. Okay, the passion that we're speaking with right now, all the reasoning that we're giving, and because Joe Biden becomes president, now all of a sudden that shifts anything, doesn't make any sense to regular people. It doesn't. Continue on with what you believe. If that was the thing, the principle that you're going to stand on, a day cannot change on the calendar and then all of your agenda changes. That doesn't make any sense at all. Continue with what you believe.
But I don't think,
regardless of the start of Biden's presidency.
I don't think you're necessary. I don't think it's one or the other. So what happens? So the House votes to impeach. Now we have, and they do that on Wednesday. What's the next 8 days like?
Because McConnell's not going to do anything.
Yeah. So right, he's not going to do anything. And then and the Republicans get to sort of dance around, but at least for those 8 days, be pressured. They have to, make a statement. Every Republican gets asked, what are you going to do?
Exactly. Right. I'm all for that. Yes. 100% for that.
We're in agreement.
I want all of that. Not clear to me is what happens on day one. Okay. What happens on day one? Is day one, the U.S. Senate under Democratic majority lead, that they say we're going to move on impeachment? That's the only point of differentiation among us right now. Is whether that's what they should start with. I agree that 100 days from now, you've lost momentum. I get all that. And I'm not interested in the unity argument. This isn't about unity. Mm-hmm. To me, this is about real political priorities.
Yep.
About the biggest priorities out there. And to me, passing COVID relief is more important than the Senate voting on impeachment on day one or day two.
Okay, so you're saying if we do COVID relief the first day, and then before the week is up, we get to impeachment or something like that.
I think so. I think that's what I think that would be a much better statement.
Okay.
Okay, about the people, like the priorities are the people, right?
Okay.
I
agree with that. I'm aligned with that.
One interesting nugget out of this is that if the Senate doesn't take up impeachment before the transition of power to the Democrats, which is almost certain, but I do want those the next 10 days, we all know, are an absolute we have no idea what's going to happen in the next 10 days because of this president. So pursuing impeachment plus a set of laws that would bound this president from ever holding office and pardoning people and being the ability to pardon himself. Let's pass a law that says presidents cannot pardon themselves. Right.
Sure.
Would I think all be what I want to see in the next 10 days. They're all what I want to see in the next 10 days. Because when the president goes off the rails again, which is about to happen, I'm sure he's planning to go to Texas on Tuesday. He wants to see his wall that he's supposedly been building. And the White House is saying that he plans to visit the Alamo. What the fuck do you think that's all about? Okay. Okay. When he goes off the rails again, I want this pressure to be completely, I want it to be at like 11 on a scale of 1 to 10. I want the pressure on the Senate to be as high as possible to do the right thing.
It'll give it even higher when, I think the 17th is the big date that I've seen
right.
flyers and stuff.
Yeah. Well, when say something about that, Charles. What are you talking about there?
Well, so there are flyers going around for the next big rally. Stop the Steal people and all kinds of other folks are saying that they want to go back to the Capitol. They're talking about violent things specifically. And it's not just the Capitol DC, because now that is fortified.
Right,
that's
right.
Fortified. So it's crazy to think that we can go back there. But there's a soft target in 50 states all over the country that is the Capitol of these states. And that is also included in where they, what they want to march on. We saw some of that on the 6th. They were even in Olympia at the governor's mansion. So that's the next phase of this. That's going to put more pressure on McConnell. I mean, it won't put pressure on him. He's going to be out before he even organizes anything, but it'll further tell the story about how far the Republicans have gone. If even that, after the invasion of the Capitol, even that's not enough for them.
Yeah, I think that we need to be as vigilant and as focused for the next 10 days about boundarying the president through impeachment, through these laws. And this is where Jordan again speaks. Like, that's what the House can do. The House can start that, can vote to impeach. And as Ocasio-Cortez talks about this morning, can also bring up other legislation and send that over to the Senate. Let's do that. That further brackets it. The pressure then relies upon the Senate. What the Senate does on day one or day two, to me, is where I think there's a lot of consideration has to be taken into account. And I don't think that the die is cast yet. I think we have to let this sequence out. We just have to let this go for right now and watch and see what seems like the best thing for this country at that time.
I hadn't heard about the visit to the Alamo or the 17th. That sends chills up my spine. These folks are not done yet.
No, they are clearly not done. And in fact, I think everything I'm reading on Twitter suggests that they're emboldened. They don't see what happened on the 6th as a failure or a lack of success. They see it as an incredible success. They breached the security. They darn near got into both chambers and took them over with hostages. They brought out the hang Mike Pence kind of materials. They are emboldened. They aren't in any way, shape, or form recalcitrant or down about this. So I think that, you know, it's even more dangerous now. So I'm on board with the House moving forward with those pieces. Steve, I do know there was some language coming out of from Nancy Pelosi's office. She's been not saying a ton to the public. I do know that she's on 60 Minutes tonight talking about the experience of being in the Capitol on Wednesday. And I think that's part of the strategic messaging of the Democrats to have her out there talking about that. But she spoke about two elements of the impeachment process, both the gravity of it and also the reality of not having decided the pathway forward yet. She issued a statement yesterday. What do you got on that?
It is absolutely essential, she wrote, that those who perpetrated the assault on our democracy be held accountable. There must be a recognition that this desecration was instigated by the president. And then she went on, we will be proceeding with meetings with members and constitutional experts and others. I continue to welcome your comments. I urge you to be prepared to return to Washington this week. So she is setting it up. She wants it to happen.
Yeah, and this morning, Pat Toomey, who's a Republican, and it's always a Republican who's retiring, but he's not running in 2022, a senator from Pennsylvania, said this morning on one of the talk shows that he does think it's impeachable and that he would vote to impeach in the Senate. And I think that you've got a series of senators on the Republican side who would vote to impeach. And I certainly think they'd vote to pass laws bracketing the president. The thing that is probably the most offensive to me out of this whole process is that these calls for unity about we should just all come together are all being issued by Republicans.
Yes.
They're being issued by Republicans who, some of whom led the charge to vote against the presidential certification, and some of whom came back after the coup attempts, the insurrection, and still voted that way. This is the reason that I would strongly get on board with the Senate, even on day one. So here's the best kind of get David on board for day one in the Senate, taking up impeachment, is to say, you Republicans don't get to have for 5 years this division of the country that you cynically enabled. And then you don't get to decide when we stop this conversation. You don't get to decide that. We get to decide that. And that's because we won the presidency. We won the House. We won the Senate. It's the first president in American history to be elected. And then within 4 years to lose the White House, to lose the House, and to lose the Senate. The first in American history. Okay. That I don't want to give the power to Republicans to control the public conversation and say, oh, we need to unify. So that to me pushes me hard towards, let's run this thing all the way through now.
Yeah, and the only thing that I would be pretty confident in our side's ability to do that, were it not for Joe Biden's first speech, where he talked about coming together. First speech after the incident. And so I'm a little worried. I'm a little worried about those old school big D Democratic tendencies to be the ones who bring the country together. And I think we need that at a certain point. It's just not right after or during actually, because we're in the middle of it, we think, a violent takeover attempt.
Well, I agree with that idea. And this going to the Alamo is classic. It reminds me, these Republicans and their call for unity and everything, reminds me of what happened during World War II. You know, they were confronted with an obvious danger on the ground, rolling across European countryside, and they just sought appeasement after appeasement. And Charles Lindbergh and his America Firster crowd, who were really, not just appeasing, but also supporters of the Nazis, kept talking about unity and that it's only about this country and all that. So I agree with you that this is not to be swept under the rug or anything. But I'm hoping that Biden understands that, and that old congenial I reached across the aisle thing is not what is the driving force here, because this is dangerous. And anybody who thinks it's not dangerous is just still living in either a fantasy world or deliberately trying to foment this revolution this insurrection these people are promoting.
Well, I would say one thing I'll say to that is I don't think it's as bad as a fantasy world. I think there's a lot of good things about where he wants to go, and it's worked in the past.
I didn't mean Biden's fantasy world. I meant the fantasy world of the Trumpian right wing who think that they are part of some, you know, insurrection to protect, you know, the, I mean, let's face it, in protect the white women. Right. I mean,
sure.
this is racism and
absolutely
anti-democracy at its deep American roots.
Well, I think the other part about that is that this is the, this, if there's a debate going on, this is the friction that is going to grow on our side, over the next few months and maybe even years. It's this return to normal that a lot of people who wanted Joe Biden to be the nominee, what they want, and it is a backwards move. And that's a fantasy to the rest of us. That's a fantasy. There's no going back. There's no before COVID. There's no before impeachment or double impeachment. There's no before Trump to go back to. But some folks on our side want that. And they think that Joe Biden is going to bring them back to that. And they think that bringing the country together is a part of that. Because they have in their minds, it is that this country is better than what they saw. They're the ones who think that not our country. This doesn't happen in our country. They're folks in our the Democratic Party or on the left who believe that. And I'll say that the rest of us are over on the other side saying it's a new day. They have shown us who they are and maybe have been all along. And we should not forget that. And there's no going back to normal. There is no normal. Also, that was a lie. And that is going to be the rub. That's going to be the rub. And you will lose a bunch of young folks and a bunch of people of color who have had to suffer these 4 years when you talk about reconciliation before justice.
I agree.
I think that the message forward that is a winning democratic message within the party and is also the right ethical message for us is that the way we unify this country, the way we do right by all of us is we move forward with this justice, this opportunity that this is how we do it. This is how we do it so that all Americans feel that their voices are represented, that they're all given a hearing. We're going to protect all Americans by passing these laws and by impeaching this president. So I agree with you that I don't know where Biden is at on this yet. He gave the one speech and then he gave a better second one. And then he followed up with another set of comments that were very similar to the second one. I think that we know the default of Joe Biden is to the let's come together. That's the default, right? Mm-hmm. But I also know that Joe Biden is capable of growing and changing and listening. And so I think the dynamic we've seen with him right now is indicative of that. Where he's going to stay is part of what where we come in. Where is he going to stay? And that's where we, with our kind of push, and I think the moving forward with the House on this, is that it says to Joe Biden, this is where your party is going to demand that you stay, not just the left progressives, but the party, the whole House is going to vote this way. And the Senate is going to consider this. This is essentially, I don't think it's like a warning or a danger to Biden. I think it's a statement to Biden of the reality is that the way we come together and build a better unified country is by moving forward with the rule of law, not by parking it at this moment.
Yep. And also, if this trial were to take place in a fashion that we all could pay attention to, with this anger and frustration and fear still in our heads, it's about the closest this country will ever come to at least the first steps to a Truth and Reconciliation Commission, to actually acknowledging the truth and then figuring out what reconciliation looks like. But you have to acknowledge the first truth step. First.
It's the first step, yeah. We've talked a lot about Biden, and my hope is on Harris.
Uh-huh.
As somebody who has worked her whole life on justice.
Yeah.
And the many different paths towards it and the implications of it and of it in general, and then on certain communities. And her, how she's behaved as a senator. I hope that Joe Biden, I can imagine a debate where they're on the call and Joe Biden is coming with that come together stuff. And Kamala is telling him, Joe, you told me to tell you what I think. And I'm going to tell you as the last person in the room with you.
Right.
That is a bunch of bullshit. Okay. And we can get there eventually, but I'll tell you when we're ready for that. And it's not today.
That's right. Right. This is like the debate moment when she took him down. Right. We're like,
exactly. Joe,
I'm the kid on that bus. I'm the girl on that bus. Right.
That's right. It's time to fight, Joe.
Which puts the final fine point as we wrap up here on who's at the table and who's in the room. Right. Mm-hmm. And that's why we fight for a just and inclusive democracy, because the voices in the room and the voices at the table are so important. So important.
That's right.
So, all right. This has been, you know, everybody who's listening to this, you don't see the behind the scenes work of Steve Scher, who is doing yeoman work on the production side. And Steve has a 40-minute Zoom limit, okay? Because Steve has a free Zoom account. So we ran out of time here. So we had to stop and then start up again. Just want you all to know that we're stewarding our resources really well with Common Power.
Yeah.
We only have a free Zoom account for this podcast. Right, Steve?
That's right. That just shows that we care about the resources of all the people.
Yeah, donate today for Steve Scher. Is it now? I'm joking.
Yeah, don't do that.
Yeah, thank you, Steve. Good work, man.
Thanks. Thank you. All right. So
let's go.
Let's go. Today, every single minute, every single hour right now is consequential. Let's keep paying attention, and we're going to monitor it. And there might be a moment of mobilization or advocacy for us in the next 10 days to put pressure on certain elected officials. We'll see. We're paying attention to what makes sense or not at this moment.
That's right. We're good at that. We're good at that. People are itching right now to hop on some phones, I'm pretty sure.
Don't you think everybody wants to call Marco Rubio or Josh Hawley, right?
Yeah. And just let them have it, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't want to go to the Alamo, though.
No.
No.
In that scenario, do they see themselves inside the Alamo or outside?
I don't think he knows the difference, okay? He doesn't understand exactly. It's like the upside down Bible. He just, you know, whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Oh, man, good image.
All right.
All right.
Get back to work. All right.